This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and let's begin today with criminal justice, or what some might call criminal injustice. What happens when a person is sent away to prison for a crime he didn't commit? That's what Darrell Jones has been saying happened to him for the past three decades.
So, Darrell Jones, you spent 32 years in prison for a murder that you always claimed you didn't do. Now you're out. So, did you kill Guillermo Rodriguez?
No, of course not.
In fact, Darrell Jones says he didn't even know Guillermo Rodriguez, who was murdered in 1985 in Brockton. Last month, after a three-month review of the case, Superior Court Judge Thomas F. McGuire overturned Darrell Jones's conviction. He ruled the case was tainted by racial bias and allegations that police altered a videotaped interview with a key witness to remove exculpatory evidence. Judge McGuire learned of the racial bias on the part of the jury from reporting by WBUR's Bruce Gellerman and the New England Center for Investigative Reporting. Earlier today, I met Darrell Jones for the first time in a house outside of Boston where he's been living since he was released. He talked about adjusting to life after three decades of incarceration and about the murder of Guillermo Rodriguez back in 1985.
This is a whole nother murder. So if you start with those facts, then you can CSI the rest, then let me know. So that's what I tell people when they ask that question. If you really want to know, then Mr. Rodriguez would like you to find out.
Mr. Rodriguez, the victim,
right.
would like to
right.
yeah, would like
but,
us to find out who really killed him.
Because right now, I'm his only voice. Isn't that something?
What's the strangest thing about the world today that you left 32 years ago?
Well, the strangest thing to me in the world coming out, this is the same society that tricked themselves up into a president that reminds me of a guy I met in jail. Trick answers and somebody else is fake. So when I saw society was willing to do that and I come out here, the people appear to be incarcerated.
How so?
By what they don't know. They're all looking at their phones. They're from the little kids on. And I'm like, they're not even seeing the world no more. We do understand in Massachusetts alone, in the last year, maybe five innocent men got out. We go to jail, and it's Commonwealth versus Darrell Jones. That means everybody's involved. And now, all these guys get out like I get out, and I haven't heard one DA, one Commonwealth come out and say, well, if that's not the guy, we're going to deal with it. We're going to make sure the right person. They don't care about that. They just cared about the conviction because the Commonwealth, the people like you, weren't coming in the courtroom holding them to that, weren't coming to the courtroom in masses or calling from their homes and saying, you convicted these guys in my name. I must start needing to know what you're doing. No one else is voicing for him. Has anybody called you and said, hey, what about his concern? So everywhere I go, I'm both of our voice. I have no choice but to be, and I gladly do it because if he doesn't get no justice, I'm still not getting no justice.
Darrell, can I ask you for 32 years in prison, sort of what you did to, I guess, keep your head above water, to stay sane, to stay normal, knowing that in your heart that you were an innocent man sent away for a murder that you didn't do? How did you manage?
Well, first, you don't manage on your own. When I went to Walpole, Walpole Prison wasn't all the fancy names it is now. The Supermax and all these prisons didn't exist. It was full of grown men. My age, coming in 18, there may be of seven of us out of 600 guys. Everybody else were grown men. There were murders going on in there. It was known for that. You could just be left there. I came in and had to acclimate into some form of animal. With the animals to say, leave me alone because you just raped this guy or you just hurt that guy and he just came in as a kid. I'm just coming in a block too. I'm not leaving that way. I can't do it because I didn't do this. But on my own, I was blessed to have my partner, Dominic Williams, and my cousin Gary Hall, and a brother man by the name Mark Thomas. Collectively, they were older brothers who had a hand in the jail. Those older guys embraced me. That's how I started surviving. There is no master went in and beat everybody's story. You play your role. In there, the killers were real. Yeah. Not the imitation stuff I might have saw on TV running the street with my buddies. These guys not running around the jail saying I didn't do it. Which is one of the biggest myths I hate. Well, everybody says that. No, they don't. I know guys that lay right back with their feet kicked up saying, yeah, and if you get in my way, I'll do something tomorrow too, right in this jail. Stop saying everybody says that. They don't.
So some of the things we learned relatively recently prior to you getting out was the editing of this tape of a key witness by the police. We also heard, thanks to some of the reporting done by a colleague of mine, Bruce Gellerman, of the jurors told Bruce that there were members of that jury that said, "We convicted Darrell Jones because he's a black guy."
The important thing about Bruce Gellerman was that he did the work. He didn't pop up and ask me some questions and say, "Yeah, well, I'm looking at an innocence case." We didn't start like that. We started on, you know, "Well, who are you? What's going on? Let's start from scratch. We're not friends. We're not buddies. If you start off telling me you believe me, you're not doing no story for me." And he could look me in my face and said, "I don't believe anything because I don't have any evidence that you didn't do it." He cracked every door possible. And he asked questions. And he got to the people that were in the world, still alive. When my old lawyer and them said they were dead and they're gone, still alive. But the juror, that was destiny. I felt like she had did what she needed to do once she spoke out for my family and for me. I knew it happened. You're hearing the DA saying, "This is what they do." You hear my lawyer saying, "Hey, it's a Monday night, they're all out, that's what they do." It's a different society than what you come from. My lawyer says to the jury, "Come on, what are we doing here? God knows you're not a jury of his peers. Are people reading this case? It's all been sitting there as a transcript for 30-something years. Read the transcript." If my lawyer's telling them they're not part of me, I come from a different society, God knows you're not his peers, and they're white. Well, they got him and the DA and me sitting in the chair like I'm a maximum super criminal, not even near the lawyer. I think they would start off saying, "I want to get home. It's a Cuban guy and a black guy. Race is basic here now." Yeah. The thing is that she had a concern about it. And if she didn't have that concern, it would have never came out.
So the juror had that concern, and 3 decades later, she let it be known. So that says something about race in society and racism in society 3 decades ago. You're out of prison now. Tell me what you see now in this society.
I'll give you an experience that I had already. I don't want to say the experience was a race experience because I believe it can happen to anybody. So that's why I'm making the point. So I goes to a store because I'm trying to shop for myself. I'm a 50-year-old man because I've been in jail with somebody telling me what to wear all the time. In fact, I'm wearing the same color for the last 10 years, the Kermit outfit, all green. And I went to Costco's. I didn't know what Costco's was, just a big store. We went in there. Once I get all the stuff together, I go to the little counter thing, and they tell me, "You can't buy that." And I go, "Why not? I got the money right here to buy it." "You're not a part of Costco." That was my first, "What do you mean I'm not a part of Costco?"
You're not a member of Costco, right?
Right. And I'm saying, wow, that was the first societal hit telling me I'm not a member of society. Even though I just did all this time before Costco was even out here. I was doing time when Costco wasn't even known. And you're telling me I'm not a member. You're reminding me of prison. They tell you that every day. You just told me that I just came out in your name. Commonwealth versus me is them too. And I wanted to tell the Costco management I should be a member instantaneously or sign up right now because I just did all this time for something I didn't do. And I'm coming to give you my money that I don't even really have. And you're telling me that was the experience to me. And because it was white faces doing it, this is how we run the world. It's a membership and you're not a member. And telling me I'm not a member, I'm somebody that hasn't been a member so long. You didn't hurt me with that. You just bothered me with that.
I understand. What do you hope to do, Darrell Jones, going forward? I mean, you've had this experience. Now you're out. There might be another trial, although people who know doubt it, because it would be pretty hard to make the case against you given what we know now, what went down.
I am the one calling for the retrial.
You want the retrial.
I was the one fighting. I won a retrial. I've been fighting for 32 years to get a retrial, not to pop out, "I'm innocent." They don't let you fight and do that. I'll see them in 90 days, right? I'm looking forward to that. But I know what the truth is. Mm-hmm. Now, with that said, being out. As you know, I made my videos from prison, so I've been active in prison, building programs, you know what I mean, various things like that. Out here, some of the younger brothers that I worked with, we're doing Drive Boston.
Tell me about Drive Boston. Tell our listeners what that is.
Let me do this here. I have to do a full interview about Drive Boston. But Drive Boston is going to be my way of working with my partner, Darren Howe, to help those not just coming out of jail, but the family of those in jail, because they all are off course and they all don't have the subsidies for what they're doing in prison and families. It don't work. So that Drive Boston is down this line. And, you know, I have my own job here, so I'll be working in my own house, so to speak. It's amazing, right? Yeah. The blessing that came here. Yeah. You know,
Can you describe where we are right now?
I keep it personal where I am right now, because I'm not looking for that attention. I'm not interested in that.
Just say we're in a big house outside of Boston where some people have agreed to help you. Right?
More than some people, but let's just say this. The Jesuit community, which my father is a part, he didn't come and just give me love. His family didn't just pray me out of prison. The Jesuit community is big. As you know, the Pope is a Jesuit. Their spirit didn't just pray me out. Here's how I'm going to put that. And I want you to quote this forever. Maybe make this my headline. When you walk in the store, I guess they got all these scratch tickets, and I've seen people on TV win $470 million, $900 million. They don't got no scratch ticket for love. I came out and hit the love lottery, man. That's rare in the world. That ticket that I hit, you could keep all the millions. Just give me this love, because I know what it's like for 32 years to be held away from family and can't get love, even though they love you, because they can't get in. I know what it's like to have 15 minutes and can't talk to your grandkids. And I definitely know what it's like to lose my brother and then to lose my own son and not be able to go to their funerals because of a conviction, meaning we can't take you out of the jail for your own son. So I know, Doc, when I came out here, I hit that love lottery. When they say light, man, I'm in light.
Last question, Darrell, if I can. What does the Commonwealth owe you? What do you think? I mean, you were sent away for a crime you didn't do for 32 years. What do you want the Commonwealth to do?
The state can't do anything but go to school now. That's all the state can do. When I say go to school.
Yeah, explain that.
I master degreed what prison is, what would help it, how it would work. Because superintendents have been changing since I've been there, retiring and gone. Commissioners have gone and went. I never left, never retired, never took a day off. I'm 24 hours. Even the guard is only there from 7 to 3, then 3 to 11. I'm all day. So what I'm saying is go to school with me. Meaning I should have a right to talk to the governor about that place because he should want to know everything there is. I should be able to talk to the mayor about that place because he want to know who returning to his community and why they're returning like they are. Why is your murder rate high right now? Don't think it doesn't have anything to do with prison. That's because you don't come. And you can come. You can walk in over the superintendent and see it live. Maybe catch the fight. Maybe catch the violence. Maybe catch the stabbing and see what's going on. Right? So that is what we're talking about. That is the education. I had to live and earn that and struggle to earn that and survive to earn that. My master's and PhDs in prison are more than unique. I've been there since I was 18 to 50. The government can only do one thing. Listen to me, because they're going to change governors again and mayors, and they're not going to be acclimated to what's going on there. So that's all they could do. They haven't done anything else. They haven't even given me my property from the jail yet. You know, when you leave with money, you should leave with something in your pocket. I could have came out here to nothing. They still have the money that's mine in my account still sitting at the prison. I haven't heard from a society agency, meaning I haven't been talked to by all this stuff they call in prison reform and reentry. I reentered after 32 years, and I haven't heard from one agency to ask me if you needed a toothbrush. I got all mine from that love lottery. Only thing government can find me now is two words together that they didn't want to understand. I had to grow into knowing as well. In hell, I'm going to do the right thing.
Darrell Jones, thank you. I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
I really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
I appreciate it as well.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And I thank WBR for not just this interview, but the longevity they gave to my case and the work that Bruce Kellerman did to all the way to you.
We spoke to Darrell Jones earlier today at a home outside of Boston. The decision by Superior Court Judge Thomas F. McGuire means his 1985 murder conviction was thrown out. It's not clear if there'll be a retrial. A spokesman for the Plymouth County District Attorney says their office is reviewing the decision. You can find more information about this story, about this case, including links to Bruce Gellerman's reporting at radioboston.org. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.